two haros just from the last thing we discussed. So here on page 34 of the Makoro sheet, remember we discussed the Shutfin example, the based off the Sma in Simin Kufayin Vav. It has its earlier roots in the Smag, and is picked up by other Nosakhim and the Shulchan Aruch. The idea was that a Poel who is a Shutaf with another Poel doesn't have the right to back out of his employment. Why? Anybody remember? Remember why he can't back out?
Oh, because he's indebted to the other Poel.
Yes, he owes a duty to his Shutaf not to mess him over. And so unless the two of them withdraw together, neither Shutaf could withdraw on his own. So a Poel is able to be Chozer, a Shutaf is not able to be Chozer. When you have two Shutfin who enter into a Poel relationship together, neither Shutaf could withdraw without the permission of the other Shutaf. Remember this discussion? I just want to point out there are really two ways to understand the underlying principle here. So one way is to look at it very formally, just that Shutaf is not allowed to mess over another Shutaf if they agreed to be together for a certain amount of time. And so just Mimela, it's going to block one Shutaf from backing out, even if they're Poelim together. Correct? Yeah. Now, I said, you might argue to the contrary. You might say the Torah wants to make sure that everybody always has a right to withdraw. And so maybe even it should allow a Shutaf to withdraw in this case. But I think the counter argument to that is, insofar as both Shutfin could withdraw together, there always is a right to back out. So you're not really an Eved. Same if your Shutaf gives you permission to back out. So you're not really stuck because there always is a way out, so long as you could solve the Shutaf questions. What I did want to point out is that I think there's a difference in formulation here between the different Mefarshim. Anybody pick up on this difference in formulation? Yoni.
Well, that the Sma seems to talk about Poelim, who get hired together.
Yeah, well, he says, Ein lezeh neged zeh shem eved, tzvichim lahashlim tanam, shen yishtatfu yachad, lasok bo adzman kavua. Right, he says the each shutef is locked in because they're nishtatef yachad to work together for a certain amount of time.
Well, they're like nishtatef; they're not previously shutef. Nishtatef like in the.
That's the question that I want to figure out. If you look at the Shaar Mishpat's formulation, the Shaar Mishpat in the second paragraph in Shin Lamed Gimel, ve'im kein hu adin b'shnei poalim shenishtatfu yachad lasos melacha etzal balabayis echad ein echad mem yachal lachzor. See, it sounds almost like they were shutfin, right? There was a formal shutfus relationship between them, and they were hired by the balabayis as shutfin. So the idea would be like, let's say Donnie and I get together to create a partnership, and the balabayis hires the partnership. Then the halacha is that neither of us can mess the other over. But the halacha presupposes that there is a formal shutfus relationship here. Okay. Notice the Smog's formulation in the bottom of 34 is slightly different. He says, "V'shem akachadin b'shnei poalim shekiblu aleihem lasos melacha ein echad rashai lachzor shlamidas chaveru." Right? Because the fact that they were hired together makes ze itzel ze him shutfin. So it doesn't sound like it's a case where you had a partnership that was hired by a balabayis. It sounds like a balabayis hired two people to work for him together. That creates a kind of shutvus such that neither shutf can mess the other one over. So the point that I want to make here is that whereas the language of the Shaar HaMishpat sounds like there must be dinei shutfus antecedent to the hiring, and it's just real dinei shutfus that prevents one shutf from messing over the other, in the Smag it sounds like it's not so much formal dinei shutfus as much it is the fact that they were both hired together. And so each one is really relying on the other for the job to be completed. Not that the partnership was hired, just that when two Poelim are hired to work for one balabayis and there's an understanding that the job will be done between the two of them, then neither has the right to be chozer. So it's less dine shutfus and more of a halacha and joint poelus. Does that sound reasonable to you guys?
Only sort of.
Well,
only
sort of? Okay.
So why does that detract from the level of avdus?
Why does it detract from the level of avdus?
Yeah.
What do you mean, the track from the love of Avdus?
Just because directing the two of them together, get the job done.
Oh, it's almost like I'd be wronging my partner, Poel, if I were to back out and leave him to get the job done on his own. And so I can't do that. It's similar. It's a similar. You might say it's a similar idea to shutfus, but in shutfus, it's more of a. There's a stronger halacha. If you're a shutf, you can't mess him over. If those are the terms, here it sounds like it doesn't have to be the explicit terms of a partnership. It's just an implied understanding of the fact that you two are hired together.
Why?
What?
Why does it matter that you were hired together?
So the idea is, if I need to move a couch or something, and I hire, I say, you and Eitan, come on, I'm hiring you guys to help me move the couch. So it's just kind of, it's understood that the two of you will be doing the job together.
If I decide to leave, right, you hire me and Eitan, so then I'm messing you over in the important, I'm not messing over Eitan. Like, I mean, I am.
Well, I guess Eitan has no work to do or something.
Why do I have more responsibility towards Eitan than I have to you?
Maybe Eitan's going to be doing more schlepping now or something. And he was only hired under the assumption that you were going to be there with him.
Well, so wouldn't that be true if you were hired at different times also? If I say you hire Eitan first, and then a year later you hire me,
yeah,
I'm hired under the assumption that you're, that Eitan is there, so now Eitan should never be able,
yeah, to leave. It's an interesting point. Notice the Smog's formulation is Shema Kachadin b'shnei polim shekiblu aleihem lasos malacha. He doesn't even say that they were hired at the same time. He just says two workers who were, both accepted to do malacha. He doesn't have this.
Or at that point, any time that you're the first worker, another worker is going to get hired, you can never leave.
I mean, that's
that's crazy. You're stuck.
Yeah, it would be a severe limitation on the Rosh Hashanah lachzor, right? If you took it this way. But you see, forget about the practical consideration for a second. You see how it's conceptually very different from the view
that
says it's the din shutfus that prevents him from leaving.
Yeah. It's conceptually pretty difficult also, because there's no formal, you haven't bought into a formal relationship with your
right.
Right. Your only contractual relationship is with your the Baal Bayis.
Right.
And so theoretically, vis-a-vis him, you are, and you should be.
Right, but I think the concern is that you don't have a right to mess over the other people who are implicitly relying on your covering your share. So it's the adverse impact on your coworkers that's problematic here.
So in what way is being...
Right, something like that.
If you don't have a formal shutfus, in what way is your being closer actually impacting the other person?
They're going to have more work. They're going to have to... looks like they're going to have to do the work.
They hire themselves out for whatever they hire themselves out for, right? I said I'm going to build half a house and also going to build the other half.
Right.
The obligation to move the other half falls on me once you back out.
Well, you know, you hire three people to do your moving for you, and one of them leaves in the middle of the day. The other two are going to have to shoulder the rest of the burden,
so,
right?
First of all, either I'm a cobbler in that case.
Shouldn't that be different? Shouldn't there be a distinction between cobbler and poel?
We're only dealing with poel here because of cobbler, right?
Okay, so my job is to try to move you for 8 hours, and I'll do the best I can for the 8 hours, then I'll go home. And if you're not fully moved, that's your business, not mine.
Yeah, but I guess I'm going to make you hustle, right? And like,
you're hired then. You were hired for that.
Well,
yeah, I would have been hired. I wasn't hired to do that.
Think so? So you think the smog only makes sense if it's formal shutfus?
B'shem
ha'kacha din, b'shnei
poalim. Or there could be some kind of like a joint hiring where implicit is the, like, hiring one mover as opposed to two is a big difference.
Okay.
Right? If I was hired to do two persons worth moving, okay, I can do that, but not one.
I think here the important point is the background understanding that this is going to be a joint effort. Not so much the fact that there's like a contract or a mutual kinyan between the shutfin. If you take the smog's reading against the Shaar Mishpat.
And he doesn't use the word shutfus, shinitap, he doesn't use any...
Right, there's no except for at the end, at the very end, he says, as a result of their working together.
Exactly.
Right, it's not like antecedent to their being hired there a shutfin. If you look at the Pesach Choshen in the top of page 35 in this Ha'ara Zion, he says, just look at the underlined section, U'pashet da'arik sha'apolim kiblu yachad lavod, aval k'shakibol balabayis shnei polim, aval p'shakibolim b'mikra yachad, ein dinam k'shutvin. Here it sounds almost like he's saying the mere fact that the balabayis hired the two of you together makes you into shutvin. Right? Which I think is... You know, somewhere in between Yoni's extreme reading of the Smog and my reading of the Shaar Mishpat, right? It sounds like he wants to say, if I say Gabe and Yoni come do this work for me, and you both agree, then that makes you into Shutfin, and neither could back out without the other's consent. But if I just happen to hire two people at the same time at the same place, there's no presumption that they'd be working in consort, then that wouldn't qualify as shutfus. So this view seems to hold that the mere hiring to do work together, and everybody knows they're doing it together, makes them into shutfus. Whereas I think the Sharon Mishpat's understanding is like, no, Shutvas is like a real contractual relationship between the Shutvin that's antecedent to any Kenyan with the Baal HaBayis. So I think that the two views here is that one view, the strong Sharon Mishpat view, is to say that the only time a Paul wouldn't be able to back out is if he antecedently had a Shutvas relationship with somebody else. I think the Smag and the Piskei Choshen seem to already be assuming that the mere fact that you have two workers working together for you makes them into a quasi-shutvus, and that sense of reliance is what blocks one from messing the other over. That's my sense from the Smag and the Piskei Choshen. Eitan.
Could it be that to make a distinction between the Piskei Choshen and the Sharon Mishpat is about the relationship between the Poles themselves? You know, per the Piskei Choshen, it seems as though we don't really care whether or not they have like a relationship or a working relationship or anything before, as long as they were hired at
together.
The same time that works.
Right.
So however, the Shar Mishpat seems to be saying that there needs to be some sort of communication,
Nishtatu
like
Yaka,
stipulating beforehand to make them shut things. Like, that's
interesting. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Any other comments on this, or no?
I mean, well, any individual reading,
well,
or something. Like, I'm not going to use the Sharon Mishpat assumes an antecedent.
Ah.
So as opposed to at the moment of being hired, that, you know, constitutes or creates
right.
a Shutvus, which then becomes very similar to the Chilshin
saying. Yeah, who are the Mishnei Polim Shinishtatfu Yachad.
Right, meaning at the moment that two Polim jointly take on a job, it
right.
becomes a Shutvus.
Well, there's no, right, but there's nothing in his language to suggest that the mere hiring of them together makes them into Shutvin. His language, I think, suggests that, you know, there had to be this intention to create a shutfus for the purpose.
Right, but a lot of the idea that there was an antecedent shutfus, and then you
yeah,
hired
that's
the corporate
correct.
Entity.
Correct. I mean, almost, my point is less chronologically and more logically that there's, right, the shutfus is really independent of the fact that they're being hired, right? It stands independently of it. Yeah. That's a good hara. Okay, another ha'ara, that's about the Shutvim case. One other ha'ara on the Pola Mischai B'Knasim Yachzor case. So I thought was interesting about this is that we saw that Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reis Zayin was talking about Dini Asmachta, and one of the exceptions to Asmachta is that if you're accepting to pay a fine that's appropriate, it's not considered to be an exaggerated Asmachta, and it is binding. So, what I thought was interesting here is that the way I read the Shulchan Aruch, he was saying that when a poel agrees voluntarily to be fined for breaching, that's considered to be a knas haroilo. And I thought that would be a huge chiddush in light of the Torah saying that a poel always has a schus chazara, right? If he really has a schus chazara, then it's a knas shein haroilo, right? So, this reading would suggest that even though a poel always has a right to withdraw, it's almost morally problematic that he's doing so. Right? So despite Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim, there's still appropriate room for a penalty. Mashal Ma'ad Davar Doma, we saw last year, at the very end of the year, even though Grama Ben Ezekin is Pater, Shulchan Aruch said, if you are Mischayiv to pay for Grama Ben Ezekin, that could be chayiv without issues of asmachta because there's moral grounds for zechi b'dei shamayim for your being liable. Everybody see the analogy? So I thought this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch would be really interesting. If it's true that a knas for backing out, even with kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, is appropriate, then it shows that the privilege of withdrawal is not an unqualified one. Right? It's a right to withdraw, but there's some sort of wrongdoing that creates room for imposing a knas. Now, the issue we had with that is that most of you were saying that this is only a davar aved case. Right? The only time it's appropriate to impose for a self-imposed knas is if it's davar aved. So the language of the Rama here in Siman Reish Zayin is, I think this is again on page 35, Mechenim ha-melamed kibel ala be'esha hezkiru knas im yachzer bo v'lo nimtza melamed acher mezuman eno asmachta. Right? And it's considered to be a knas haroi in the language of the Shulchan Aruch before that. He said, ki kedayhu sheyischayev hachozer bo b'knas, and that's why there's no ishev asmachta. So my reading here assumes that the clause in the Rama which says "Velo nimsa melamed acher mezuman" is ex post facto, meaning the tenai was that if I back out, then I'll accept this kanas, which has nothing to do with Dabar Aved. The condition of liability is lo nimsa melamed acher mezuman, because that's really the only case where I guess there's a loss that is sufficient to trigger the knas. But the point is that bishasa is chayvus, it's considered to be a knas haroi, even if it's not clearly a davar ha'avod. That's my reading.
Right. Are you going to get penalized? Are you going to get the knas if you do find one else?
I guess in my formulation, in the language of the Shulchan Aruch, maybe not. In my pure view, yes.
I think the language of Plus, you wouldn't
get it. In that case. Yeah. Okay, so look at the makar. The makar for this Ramah is Zagos Maimonios. You see in the bottom of 35, and Tzchiros Perek Ches, Simon Gimel. Mikan pasak risha socher melamed tinokos v'kibel alav ha-melamed tinokos knas im yachzer bo v'chazer bo v'lo nimtza melamed acher b'mkomo ein za asmachta d'lo chashiv gazim kivan shemafsid b'chazeraso. Okay. So you're right, it does require that there be some sort of hefsid, right, in order to trigger the knas, but that doesn't have to be a davar ha-aved hefsid necessarily. Right, we know that there could be a non-davar ha'aved hefsid just in virtue of the cost of labor going up, right? I want to make two arrows here. The first is that in the language of Hagolas Maimonios, notice it's v'chazar bo, and then v'lo nimtza melamed, which supports my reading that the v'lo nimtza melamed is ex post facto, not one of the conditions, not one of the posh, not one of the provisions of the tanai.
Then why is not? Why do we care?
Well, the concern is that any time you obligate yourself for a future liability, it would just be an asmachta, unless it's a liability or right.
Contingent on something, like if you obviously would have a future liability guaranteed if you retracted out of the relationship.
I think even that is an asmachta because you weren't planning on backing out. Right. So the fact that I wasn't really planning on breaching means that when I did breach, I can't be machayim myself now for it. Look at the Pisrei Choshen's formulation in the bottom of 35. Poel hamischai b'knasim yachzer bo ein bazemi shemasmachta. Notice he doesn't have any qualification of whether they're able to find somebody else or what kind of hefsid there is. He just like gets rid of that and says, oh yeah, the mere hischayvus b'knas is sufficient to generate liability because it is roi, and therefore there's no asmachta.
Well, I think he's being very purposeful in doing that, like everyone else who does not suspect to be able to find someone. I mean, he doesn't imply that is the concern about the asmachta. It seems that your pulling out is contingent on whether you're able to find someone after. So if you were able to find someone right after, you would have passed. If you weren't able to, you would have passed.
Right. So what's the significance, though, of the Rama having the idea of lo nimtza melamed acher?
Well, they have to pay the knas.
Right.
But would you have to pay it even if you were able to find the melamed acher?
I don't think anyone thinks you do. I think even the Pitchei Choshen, I'm with Adam here, but even the Pitchei Choshen just saying that when it's not an asmachta because it's like a fair knas. And that's why...
Only if there's hefsid.
And that's why I can close it. But whether I end up having to pay the knas, that's going to be dependent entirely on whether or not...
There's hefsid.
It is a hefsid or not.
Okay. But you agree there could be hefsid that's not davar aved, right?
I mean, that's like the davar aved, so yeah.
Right, which we'll get to in a second. So if there could be hefsid without davar aved, then it would follow that it could still be wrong to back out, even with Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim, Pol Yochal Lachzer Bo, in virtue of the fact that you're imposing an extra cost on the Baal HaBayis, even if that cost is not a Davar HaAved. Right? So I still think that's a Chiddush. because you might have thought that Kili Beishal Avada means that it's always permissible to back out. Davarava is an exception, fine. But we're saying here that it's problematic to back out, even when it's not a davar aved, v'haraya, the kenas is considered to be a kenas aray. That's what I wanted to tease out of that formulation. Okay, I know last week everybody was saying, oh, maybe it's only a davar aved case, so this is a kenas aray. I think there are grounds here for saying that it's a kenas aray even without davar aved.
It's not responsible to the Chatam Sofer case.
Right, so last time I was saying this is an intention with the Chatam Sofer, that if you took a knas to make it harder for you to leave within 3 years, that would be avdus, right? You might say, you could disagree. You might also say there's a distinction here between whether it's problematic and whether it's binding. So yes, it's like morally problematic for you in that it makes you more like an eved. And that's the Chasam Sofer's consideration. But on the other hand, the Hischaivus is still binding in virtue of the fact that it's appropriate for you to be knast for backing out. So it's just a conflict of two different halachic values. Right? One halachic value is to not make you an Eved. The other halachic value is that it's wrong to breach.
Well, the Chasam Sofer thinks that it might not even be fine. Like, it's not fine. It could very well be fine. But I'm sure that's not even more than, you know...
Yeah.
Even the knas itself doesn't apply.
Yeah, right. So maybe that line, that's a good point. That line might be in tension with this reading of the Ramah. But I guess that they could disagree about, which is fine. All right, any comments on this? Well, of Devaravid? So we'll get to this in a second. Yeah, hold on a second. Yeah, Eitan.
Yeah, I would just say, like, we were talking at the beginning of the year, like, or at least earlier, about how we felt there's like this moral need to help out the owner in this case, even though you have like these two contrasting moral issues. You have the idea that, oh, this person he shouldn't be a slave, and the Torah is clearly going out of its way to make sure that this guy's not a slave, and also that this guy shouldn't get messed over. But then you have the middle case, which seems like a standard case where there's no loss on either side, and the guy wants to back out. And at least, I don't know if you express it, but I at least felt this back then, that like there was still like an issue, like, hey, you're backing out. Like, that's not the right thing,
right,
whatever
right,
that means.
Right.
And so this kind of sheds light on that gray area and says, yeah, even in that case,
it's wrong.
There is something wrong despite the fact
that's
that
right.
You don't
That's why I think this view is so interesting. I think this view is interesting because the fact that this falls under a Kenas Haroi shows that it's not morally neutral even with Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim.
Exactly.
Or withdrawal is not morally, it's not perfectly neutral. That's what again, if you force the reading to say it's only in the Devar Aved case, you don't get that result.
Correct.
Right, that's what I'm trying to point out. Okay, good. That's what I wanted to cover.